RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's look back to the Ravens-Packers game and the Steelers-Browns game. Tyler Huntley passes for over 164 and a half yards. He did not. 107. Both you guys fell back, Jason. You said 147. Tyler Huntley will not turn the ball over. He didn't. That's a bounce back. Both of you guys fell back. Ken, you said two picks.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry will have a longest run exceeding 17 and a half yards. He did. He had a 30-yarder. Both guys bounced back. Jason, you said a run for 20. Derrick Henry will run for over 74 and a half yards. Boy, did he.
Yes.
Probably after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Both he bounced back. He had 216. Jason, you said he'd run for 80 or more, which...
Well,
carried a lot of weight there.
Yeah,
did some work.
Shedeur Sanders passes for over 184 and a half yards against the Steelers. Barely, he did 186. Jason, you bounced back. He said 200. Ken, you fell back. Aaron Rodgers passes for over 186 and a half yards. He did not. 168.
Oh, so close. I heard the league took a look and they added a yard. Yeah.
Both you guys bounce back, and the Steelers cover that 3.5-point spread. They did not. They lost outright 13-6, and you guys fell back. Jason, you said three or less. Jason with a narrow win, 5-4, 5-4. So we'll just go straight to Sunday Night Football, because Book of the Bone already has a lot of these props. No Ravens quarterback yet, because we don't know who the Ravens quarterback is going
to be. Book of Bones want it, though.
Aaron Rodgers threw for a season-high 280 yards in that game against the Ravens the first go-around. Book of the Bone has him at just 210 and a half. No DK Metcalf. Jason, what do you think? 210 and a half.
I'll say 216. I don't know.
216. That is a bounce back. Ken?
Oh, man. They're so limited, but so is the Ravens defense.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a buck 99, Bone.
That's a fallback. Buck 99. Derrick Henry, after running for 216 yards, his line 92 and a half in Book of the Bone, 92 and a half. Ken, bounce back, fallback.
I'm going to bounce back, Bone. I think he's going to have volume again.
Jason?
I'm going to say 127.
127. Derrick Henry scored four touchdowns against the Packers. Jason, he scores two or more touchdowns. We'll even count receiving and the rare
as long
chance.
As he crosses the goal line chance. With the ball, yes.
I'll say he has two rushing touchdowns.
Two rushing.
I think they got to keep the main thing the main thing. The red zone's been all messed up. Just get heavy and see what happens.
Get heavy, Bone. Man, this is a tough one. Because I don't know how many. I think points are going to be at a bit of a premium in this football game. I'm going to say he scores one touchdown, so I'll fall back.
One touchdown.
Hater.
Steelers didn't really try to run the football that much in the first matchup because they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Jaylen Warren's rushing total, 45 and a half yards, Ken.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce back on this one, Bone. I also think they're gonna feed these two guys in the pass game.
We'll
but
get to that in a
yeah,
second.
But yeah, I'll bounce back.
It's hard to know who's going to get the ball when with them. You said 47?
45 and a half.
45 and a half. I'll say Gainwell outrushes him in this one. So I'll say Warren is like around 39-40.
Outrushes him. Speaking of Kenneth Gainwell.
Great name for football.
His over-under for receptions. 4.5 at Book of the Bone. Jason, he goes over that.
Beltway Ben knows. I've been riding Gainwell 5 or more receptions for about a month now. It didn't happen last week, although he did have 4 targets in the first half. And he ended up with 3 catches. One of them was ruled a run. Why wouldn't you attack the Ravens that way? I wouldn't be surprised if he's got 7 catches or more. Mm. Maybe even 8.
7 catches or more. Ken?
Yeah, my line was going to be he might double that. And that's where Jason was on the same wavelength there. I'll bounce back.
How about Pat Freiermuth with no DK Metcalf?
Yeah.
His over-under receptions, 3.5, Ken. 3.5.
That's a weird one because
it is.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers likes Pat Freiermuth.
He's in the circle of trust.
He's not.
So I think MVS will have more catches than Pat Freiermuth. I'm going to fall back.
Jason. Yeah, I think he has 1 or 2 catches.
That's a fallback as well. The Ravens did not have a sack and only had 1 quarterback hit against Aaron Rodgers in the first game. Jason, the Ravens get 2 or more sacks, just 2.
Man, I said they get 1.
It's a fallback, 1 sack. Ken?
I have no confidence in this, but I'll play the game and say they bounce back and get 2 sacks.
And lastly, Ravens lost the turnover battle 1-0 in the first game. Lamar Jackson had a really bad interception. Ravens win the turnover battle, Ken. Even does not count. They got to win.
Yeah, I hear you. So there could be a push here.
There could be a push.
Or a push, a loss.
Push is a loss, is what I'm saying. So
yeah. You know, they put the ball on the ground 3 times in that Browns game and got it back every time. You know what, Bone? Bounce back. They're going to win the turnover battle.
Jason?
I got to play the push side. I'll say Pittsburgh.
All right. That's a fallback for those at home.
Coming up next, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What's he have to say as they're getting ready for this matchup Sunday night against the Baltimore Ravens? Remember, Baltimore Game Day on Central, 5 o'clock at Barrelhouse Live as we get you ready for football. But head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin. We hear his thoughts next here on the
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral. Voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Fam.
He's coming off of a medical circumstance different than the injury circumstance, and so certainly he has a certain level of health, but we want to be, you know, cautious about how we work him back into the fold. And certainly he's done appropriate things in that area as well. And as I mentioned last week, I'm sure you guys will be hearing from him sooner rather than later directly.
That was Mike Tomlin. He expounded upon that earlier today, saying he's optimistic that T.J. Watt will play. But that was him talking about his pass rusher who has been out with a punctured lung.
Well, if they're talking about him being made available to the media, that's usually in a situation where they think a guy is at least in contention to play. And obviously this situation, there's a lot of intrigue with PA is looking into it and what happened here with this acupuncture situation and whether that injury, you know, whether there's negligence or what have you.
We had that similar situation with Tyrod Taylor a few years back.
Yeah, but that was it was pretty obvious.
Yes.
That was gross negligence in real time. That investigation didn't take a long time.
look, they're a much better team with him, and he has made a career out of wrecking the Ravens.
Yes.
If he's able to play, even if it's on some sort of a pitch count, it only takes a couple of snaps for him to make a difference.
Yeah, and in that first game, he had six tackles, a tackle for a loss, and a quarterback hit. Alex Highsmith really got off in that football game against the Ravens. But T.J. Watt, historically in his career, he always brings it against the Ravens.
So here's Mike Tomlin talking about all his injured guys earlier today.
Darnell Washington is out. He had surgery on his broken arm this morning, and so he won't be available to us. Thankfully, all other guys I'm about to mention have some level of optimism in terms of their availability. Calvin Austin, who missed the last game with a hamstring, definitively has a chance. Brandon Echols, same thing with his groin. James Pierre, same thing with his calf. Isaac Seumalo, same thing with his tricep injury. Malik Harrison's got a bone bruise that was sustained in game. It may limit him at the early portions of the week, but optimistic certainly about his inclusion. And although I hadn't seen TJ today, optimistic about his potential inclusion in this game. We'll work him up throughout the course of the week and let the amount of participation and the quality of participation be our guide in terms of whether or not he's a participant. But certainly I'm more optimistic this week than I have been in previous weeks as I stand here today.
Optimism
abounds.
Yeah, out in Pittsburgh, they are very optimistic, Jason.
Well, look, I mean, this is an all or nothing situation, and you might as well be optimistic. You want to leave the door open, and this is a playoff game, so it's not that proverbial, well, if it was a playoff game, he would play. Well, it doesn't matter. This is week 18. This is a playoff game. Has all the import of a playoff game. It's worth a lot of money to these owners. You get an extra home date.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a playoff date at that, and you could sell some playoff merch and all that stuff.
Yep, division champion merch.
Yep. So, anybody who can be cleared will be cleared.
Yeah, and all of those guys have roles or are starters on this football team. And Calvin Austin, he had a long catch down the sideline against the Ravens in the first matchup. Someone that can stretch the field,
yep.
So that would be big for them. Echols, the corner, Seumalo's, their starting guard, one of their better offensive linemen. So those would be big boost for the Steelers team.
More from Mike Tomlin speaking today. Could T.J. Watt be used situationally?
I'm open to utilizing him in any way that's appropriate relative to his availability.
Well, that's here, a word salad. Yes. Yeah,
well, whatever. I mean,
he's going to be
tell
used.
Tell me he's got 15 snaps in him. I'll take those 15 snaps.
Yeah, it's probably likely he can't be a full go. But again, you're like, if he's got 15 snaps, he can probably make a mess of those 15 snaps.
Yeah. I mean, look, especially given the nature of this injury, that it wasn't on field, it was in the team's facility, but not on a practice field. If Tomlin's talking this optimistically about it, I don't think he's going rogue. My inclination is he's talked to Watt about this, and they all feel pretty good about Watt playing.
For sure. And some TJ Watt is a lot better than no TJ Watt at all. And look, I am nowhere near smart enough to know the impact of the collapsed lung, but I'm thinking a punctured lung, like, it's going to be tough for him to get his wind. I don't know.
I don't know how that works. I'm not
interested if he talks what he says. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to ask TJ Watt.
Yeah.
Unlike our friend Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, we are not doctors.
No,
so I don't know how you heal the lung. Yeah. I'm curious if he had some thoughts on this, but alas, yeah, I don't know. How quick can you heal a punctured lung? Is there leakage, air leakage? I don't know. This is above my pay grade. I'm just a doofus that talks about sports, but I worry about TJ Watt's health in this situation. Like, how scary a situation is that?
I'm guessing we're not going to hear from the acupuncturist.
Yes, no,
I don't think that press conference is coming.
No, I don't think so. More from Coach Tomlin speaking today. Is he frustrated that they didn't clinch on Sunday?
Man, it's a lot of things that you could get frustrated about in our business. I've learned to kind of always move forward. My windshield is much bigger than my rear view. I'm certainly interested in learning from my experiences, but I'm equally as interested in learning from my experiences that happened much earlier in the process. It's all food for growth from my perspective. Frustration doesn't get the job done. I'm singularly focused on putting together a good plan and preparing this group for this awesome opportunity that we have.
He's frustrated. Got to be frustrated.
I mean, look, that's the NFL. I mean, look at the Rams last night. Look at the Bucs against Miami.
That's a horrific loss, Jason. Like, that's a bad
loss. It's a terrible loss, but so was the loss that when Flacco out-dueled them or whatever.
Totally.
Like, when they threw the ball 30 times to Jamar Chase for infinite touchdowns and infinite yards.
The Bills
like,
running the same play.
I mean, like, that, you
but
most
I think
of these
the
teams that are
worse.
Stuck in the middle here, you could point to three or four games and be like, how the F did that happen? How did they let that happen? How did they do that to themselves? Like, I kind of think that's the league. Yeah, that was a joke. Losing to Shedeur Sanders and a Browns offense that had no Njoku, and then Fannin goes down and Judkins isn't playing. And yeah,
I'm very interested in talking to Jerry Dulac at 5, who covers them for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and one of his latest columns saying that was one of the worst losses of the Tomlin era. And if they end up missing the playoffs and they lose to the Ravens on Sunday, it's going to be hard to argue that. That was a team that was done, a horrific record. They had 41 yards after the half.
Fannin got hurt, they couldn't move the ball.
Your offense didn't score a touchdown in a game in which you could clinch the division, then rest everybody in Week 18.
Yeah.
One more from Mike McDonald. What do they need to do differently to get their passing game going without DK?
If they give us one-on-one playmaking opportunities, we got to make those plays. And we got to put guys in position to do so. We got very capable men. Oftentimes, I say there's a fine line between being a Pro Bowler and a backup. We're at the top of the food chain in terms of the football world. And so it's a reasonable expectation from my perspective, particularly with an additional week to prepare, that we put together a thoughtful plan and that we position our guys to take advantage of opportunities. And if and when they do present themselves, that we make the plays.
So I want to parse this one out because I think two things can be true. Number one, he doesn't have capable guys. But number two, the Ravens will give them opportunities.
Yes.
I think both things can be true.
100%. You'd be hard-pressed, and Calvin Austin might end up playing, but you'd be hard-pressed to find a worse receiving core than what the Steelers trotted out on Sunday. Scotty Miller, MVS, and Adam Thielen.
Pathetic.
That was their top three receivers. Like, that's
and the moot quarterback insisted on feeding them.
Hey, yes. By the way, even if Austin plays, don't you have this odd feeling that MBS is going to lead them in targets?
I mean, maybe.
By wide receivers.
By wide receivers. We can talk personnel till Cowboys come home. If Aaron Rodgers plays that game they're going to lose.
But isn't that how he – like, I thought – take it what it's worth. I think Dan Orlovsky does a great job with film study. He did it on Monday after the game. And he pointed to the fact that Rodgers is so – he's so regimented in what he likes pre-snap. He doesn't like movement. So, like, you've got two on one side, two on the other. They ran the same play three times in a row at the goal line. Because that's what Rodgers wants.
Well, he knows throwing to Warren and throwing to Gainwell worked pretty damn well against the Ravens last time. It's worked really well for him all year. And he's going to go back and watch the film and say, I'm trying to make these guys go get 50-50 balls when they're 75% covered. And so many times his sideline throws had no chance whether the guy was if the guy was open, he still wasn't getting there. So I guess he's going to recalibrate, but I don't know.
Well, I'll say this too, guys. Even with the horrible options they has to throw the football, if the Ravens have a similar pass rush to what they had in the first matchup, he's going to pick them apart.
Yeah.
They weren't even close to hitting him.
Coming up next, speaking of the Ravens' defense, it's time for some necessary roughness. Their secondary stinks. How bad is it? We'll tell you.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, Join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Next. Ravens won 41-24 Saturday night, but it wasn't because of much the defense did. Malik Willis, who was the backup quarterback in Green Bay, threw for 288 yards and a touchdown. And the only reason he didn't throw for more yards, he threw his shoulder out in the fourth quarter of that game. So, Jason, just how bad was the Ravens secondary against Green Bay?
I mean, it's awful. It was awful from the first play until the final drive that Willis was in, and then he eventually has the shoulder issue, and then the Toon kid comes in and throws Toon a pick. That was a gift. They're a bad secondary, and they don't have personnel that performs at a high level. The season Marlon had last year at corner certainly looks like an outlier among his last three or four seasons, and nobody on their roster this year at that position is playing anywhere close to the way Marlon did last year. The days of them having a shutdown slot guy or even what Arthur Millette provided are over. Lining Marlon up as an outside boundary corner is a joke. Nate Wiggins is getting absolutely positively exposed week after week. He's not going to get any bigger. He doesn't seem to understand the zone concepts. And even if he plays press man, how physical can he get? He's not a big INT guy. Kyle Hamilton no longer plays safety. He plays will linebacker. Aloe Gilman's one of the worst coverage safeties in the NFL. Starks is very much a rookie. I mean, Awuzie is probably their best value defensive back, and you've got to keep him on a pitch count because injuries have always been an issue with him, and he's much closer to the end than the beginning. I mean, Nate Wiggins is the second most thrown on cornerback in the NFL. When you're really good, they don't throw at you 102 times. True Media has him allowing 633 yards in coverage, eighth most in the NFL. Bone looks at Next Gen, he's bottom three.
NFL Next Gen stats, it's more targets. He's still second most targeted guy. He's got 108 targets for 788 yards allowed. That's third most in football. Marlon Humphrey, he's allowed 676 yards. That's fifth most yards allowed in football. So Ravens have two of the top five corners with the most receiving yards allowed.
That's not good. And they have a perfect storm of stink because you know what helps secondary? A pass rush. And they have no pass rush, so those guys are out there covering.
But they have no pass rush in part because the way he builds his team is all about the DBs. So they have to be, they can't just be pedestrian, and most of them are well worse than pedestrian. They have to be elite. They have to be difference makers. And they're difference makers. They make the other team's quarterback look better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at Marlon Humphrey. He's allowed the second most completions or 20 or more yards in the NFL among all corners. And you got Nate, who's 11th. Like, that's their starting corners. They're both they're in the bottom dozen of corners in the NFL giving up explosive plays.
And you look ahead to Sunday, and I know this game's a lot different without Darnell Washington, without DK Metcalf, but going back to that first game when both of them did play, Aaron Rodgers turned back the clock. The Steelers scored on five of their first six drives. They had five plays of more than 25 yards through the air. So even with this, them looking vulnerable, if they can't get to Aaron Rodgers, he's going to pick them apart.
Well, look, I don't know if they'll ever change their spots, but I don't see how you build your team this way and you're not even good at evaluating these position groups. There haven't been any finds in the draft. The guy's been drafting a long time here. He hasn't found any value corner, any day two or day three corner worth a damn. His first round corner plays like a fourth or fifth round corner at best. These dudes would not be starting on most playoff defenses, let alone playing pretty much every snap. Oh, and the Aloe Gilman trade was an abject failure. Always a better pass rusher than anybody on this roster. It's not even close. And Aloe Gilman is one of the worst coverage safeties in the NFL. And he's allowed more passes of 20 yards or more than any safety in the NFL. And they try like hell to keep him out of those situations. Like, It's a joke, and unfortunately, the joke is on you as a Ravens fan because you're fed all this BS and you're fed these narratives and these parables, and it's backed up by mooks in the media for six months at a time
in
these endless off seasons, and they create these silos of information where you're led to believe, well, if it's not working, it must be a coach. And look, Orr was a terrible hire. Didn't like it in real time, but none of these dudes are playing well.
I do want to get to the Orr of it all, and his, for the most part, he's quite frankly kind of conservative with blitzing. Like, doesn't, like,
was it five times?
Because look at these guys; they can't cover in general.
But instead of the getting what is it? The whole 10,000 cuts, paper cuts,
it's not even that one. Death by 1,000.
Yeah, like. At least if you start blitzing Aaron Rodgers, he's going to do the old turn and throw. They didn't get near him in the first matchup. Like, if you can create a play, you might get burned, but you also might be able to create a game-changing play by maybe being more aggressive, because this way is not working.
He brought six or more one time against Malik Willis. He has to do that more against Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that it'll be all that effective, though, because they don't even have the designated slot blitzer who's really good at it. Like, Marlins lost a step. Hamilton, none of us think is healthy.
Nah, he's not.
And, like, the rest is a joke. But, like, again, you're asking him to compensate for overpaid and overdrafted corners and DBs and a linebacking core where one guy's making $20 million and he offers nothing in coverage. He's a complete liability. Oh, yeah, and nobody on the roster can get home by themselves except for the guy we traded for the worst coverage safety in the NFL. Like,
maybe they should be blitzing Roquan.
Maybe they should get a real general manager.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe they should give somebody else a try with Lamar Jackson before he's 31, 32,
33. They've had the one seed twice.
Or maybe, yeah. And you know what? You better hope that Lamar has one of the 10 best seasons in NFL history again next year. And then maybe you'll be able to get back there. But if he can't, this is what you're watching week in, week out.
The whole defense is going to need to be overhauled next year. When you think of defensive line, edge, like, really, there's no position groups that you feel great about.
How are they doing that hoarding comp picks? How are they doing that?
It's a good question. And that's where there needs to be a complete recalibration with how you operate and allocating more resources, money, draft capital into edge rushers, guys that can get after the quarterback. And it's even more magnified considering the fact that we don't think that Nnamdi Matabike is going to play another snap for the Ravens, and he was by far and away your best pass rusher.
He was holding the whole thing together.
Philadelphia had the best D-line in the league at the end of last year, and it led them to a Super Bowl, and it eviscerated Mahomes in the playoffs like it never has before. And they go out at the deadline, and they get Jalen Phillips, and this guy gets you Draymond Jones.
It's a nice play.
And they've got a real secondary, and they've got a real defensive coordinator, and they've got a Super Bowl caliber pedigree defense. And they go get Phillips, and this guy gets you Draymond Jones. While he trades away for a safety who can't play safety, another safety who can't play safety.
I like Wiggins more than you, but I will say they took Wiggins over Cooper DeJean, and Cooper DeJean playing real well for the Eagles. Like, I think Wiggins is dealing with something too, but.
He's dealing with overdraft syndrome.
You know, but he was decent before he hurt his foot. He hadn't been
when they played good quarterbacks. He's had a target on his back, and we'll see how decent he is. We'll see how decent he looks this week. They go to the playoffs.
He's still got a bad foot, so he's probably going to suck. Okay. But yeah.
Then go get some. You're supposed to have the best secondary in the league. Get somebody else out there.
They did.
Then play more Awuzie.
Well, somebody lied because they don't have the best secondary in the league. Mm. It's not good at all.
Yeah,
that seems to be pretty clear.
That Jair Alexander, he'd be perfect for right now. Oh,
yeah. Now the Eagles got him, and now he's on their retirement list. Yeah, this is what did I call it a couple weeks ago, Bone? The object of the opposite of the immovable object and the irresistible force, because he's got an offense that can't seem to get out of its own way and a defense that can't seem to get out of its own way.
Yeah, the over-under in this game, I haven't even looked at the number, but this game kind of screams like an ugly throwback. It's 40 and a half. Ugly throwback, like 17-14 Ravens-Steelers type game, because it could be ugly offensive football.
Coming up next, we do have to get the Terps in. They played a basketball game recently, a game they won, and right before they get ready for Big Ten action. We recap their win over Old Dominion next here on The Fan.
And then Battle gets it right back, and then Mills comes up with it.
Oh, Watts will drive in and slam it home with a right hand, and he got fouled.
Highlights from a game heard right here on 105.7 The Fan. Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey, Walt Williams on the call as Maryland defeated Old Dominion 73-58. That was Isaiah Watts, who was inserted in the starting lineup
for
this game.
Yes, he was.
Had 17 points, and that dunk was over former Turf Turf for Life, Calum Swanton Roger.
The Cowboy.
Yeah, the Cowboy's back.
Love the Cowboy.
Cowboy did not score in this
game. Stampeder from Calgary. Yeah.
That's he had guy. No points.
That's my guy.
He had no rebounds. He had no assists. He did have two blocks, though, in this basketball game.
And
did
he had fun.
And I think Maryland got off to an 18-0 start.
17-0.
After the game, Buzz Williams talked about the quick start.
I think anytime there's a change of pace, a change of place, you pray that there's a change of perspective in a healthy way. I think our guys have been incredibly resilient through all that has transpired in the first semester, regardless of results. And I think our staff has been incredibly good at trying to find within all of our deficiencies margins and how we can improve. And then instead of just saying them, trying to find ways to measure them. And I think that similar to your question, like, I think tonight was our fifth game of the month, and we're starting a different group again because we're still trying to figure out all of the different things. And so within these measurements, each practice, we're grading every practice like it's a game. So when we go in the film room today, we're talking about the game from last night so that we can accumulate some evidence of these measurements and pictures for our guys to see. And we continue to try to adapt and adjust some of the things we're doing defensively and just as many of the things that we're doing offensively. And sometimes they stick, sometimes they don't. But I think there has been some carryover despite the results over the last 3 weeks. And so to be able to start like that, it was encouraging.
Thanks to Beltway Ben
that
Hall.
Was a,
and,
quite a
yeah,
dissertation.
And I appreciate Beltway Ben Hall for reminding me what the question was about, but he did bring it full circle there at the end.
He did.
He did bring back the quick start. Anything at all to glean from this 73-58 winner Old Dominion as they start Big Ten play in earnest on January 2nd at home against Oregon?
Well, I think one of the objectives was to figure out which pieces work best with which and to figure out rotations and substitution patterns and the like. And I think he has accomplished some of that. And obviously no starting five is going to be as good without pain as with it. But I think he's figured out the guards a little bit and how they work and what at least is going to allow them to flex their muscles against lesser competition. Now the Big Ten looks like it's loaded. Looks like the best conference in America. So there's not going to be a lot of fluff to mine there. But I do think he at least has sorted some things out. I also think they're going to have a hard time winning games without pain, whether those games are home or road against most of the Big Ten. The underbelly of the Big Ten does not seem to be that robust to me. So
robust.
And they seem to have more true Final Four contenders than in a lot of other years because the SEC isn't as good as it's been. And I'm not sure that the Big 12 is as good as a lot of people were selling it preseason. So I don't know. I mean, like, I think he's leaned into veterans more and he had to do that. And if he can bring the kids along and keep them in the program for next year, the ones he wants to keep, that's great. But I think he also ran with the youth as long as he could. And now he's figured out, I got to play these more experienced guys to start these games and try to stay in these games.
I don't know if there's a ton to glean going against the Old Dominion team that Maryland just outclassed jumping out to that 17-0 lead. But things that I liked seeing in this game, well, tinkered with the starting lineup, which Buzz mentioned in that cut. You had Diggy Coy coming off the bench, and he didn't even score in that game.
They had seven bench points.
I like the fact that this wasn't a game against a lesser opponent where they just dominated in the paint. Old Dominion outscored them in the paint, so it was more outside shooting, and it was pretty good. Now, are they going to be able to sustain that when they get into Big Ten play? We shall see, but the ball movement. They had 12 assists in the first half. Really like that. Turnovers have been an issue for this team all year long. They only had 8 turnovers, but now it gets real, and you're playing an Oregon team that's not exactly having a great start to the season either.
Beltway Ben, curious to bring you in on this. So they got Oregon and then Indiana at home, then at UCLA and at USC. Rodney Rice, old friend, out for the season at USC. Are they winning any of these games?
I wouldn't pick them going in. I'm sure they'll come away with one or two, just the nature of college basketball. And I think Payne will be back at some point in the stretch. But no, they're tough. The one thing I took from that game, after Swanton gets dunked on, I went back and watched him dunk on Hunter Dickinson. I searched it up. It just gave me a good memory. That was awesome moment of his career.
Oh,
he hammered one down on Hunter Dickinson. That was the best moment of his career, probably. But he did start that game and log basically nothing.
Yeah. A
couple blocks, but yeah, they're not a good basketball team. They're not going to be this year. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Buzz Williams for next year, and sounds like they're going to have a lot of money. The football program is bringing a lot of guys back.
How about that?
Sounds like Jim Smith's doing a very good job and sticking to what he said. But I love what they're doing with the freshman class. But that is not where you're going to win, especially in the Big Ten movie, especially with pros signing.
Yeah.
The college basketball's in a weird spot. They need some.
Illinois has every Eastern European.
Yeah, and it works well. I think they're going to have to add to just a freshman class. They can't go into next year thinking, ba-ba, and these guys are going to save everything.
Maryland takes on Oregon. That's a Friday game, 7:30 p.m. You can hear it right here, beginning with pregame coverage at 6:30, right here on 105.7 The Fan. It's Mike Popovic will get you with the pregame coverage. But coming up next, to be or not QB, is it Lamar? Is it Snoop? Who is the quarterback going to be Sunday? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.